shake. Got about 3 hoes on my show. At trying to tee up Christmas Day. Won't you want some Jingle Bells all the way? Hey, got them bells all over the shake.
Yeah, we've been recording. That's what he said. He said you can start whenever.
Every single thing that we've been talking about right, so okay. far has been real.
All right, 3, 2, 1, go. All right, cool. All right, so I went back and I looked at ELD Monthlies. I looked at Duress Crew Seasonals. I looked at Eternal Weekend. I looked at SCG Hartford, the Lobster Con side event, and Lobster Con. And this is, in my personal opinion, the best 32 players in New England pre-modern scene.
If your name is on this list, you are hung.
Oh yes. My God.
This is a the list pressure. Of 32 huge donged individuals. All right, ready? I'm just going to fire through this. All right, so you're getting named because you either won something or you almost won something a bunch of times. So Jared Doucette, Brad, Mike Packer, James Rich McCowan, Rich Shea, Andre, I don't remember your last name, but you play land still.
He plays Madness.
Sorry, yeah, Madness.
Mog.
No. Cochran.
Oh.
No. Yeah. Andre, who plays Andrew, Madness. Sorry. Yes, yeah. He's really good. I lost to him. Jared Bollinger, Drew Lemeries. Myself, Rob Rogers, Rude Slay, Shane Echeverria, John Colley, Nick Mayo, Josh Kachinskas, Brian Sue, Justin Provencal, Dusty, Brendan Ward, Bryn Pitt, Bryce Menard, Andrew Mag, Nick Pinn, John Meatballs Darling, Colton Abrams, Dan Hall, Mike Coyle, Chris Roy, Ian Adams.
How many is that?
That's 29, and then okay. and then also Brian Seldon, Nick Melzano, and Ian Adams. So that makes 31. And then the best audio engineer in the game is...
Woo! Honorary 32. There we go. No one's lost as many winning ins as I have.
So I did like a little bit of analysis. All right. So I'm going to play the quiz. This could be a bit of a quiz show. All right. So which deck has top aided... Which deck, you know, meta archetype, has top aided every single one of our seasonals?
Landstill.
Landstill.
It is Landstill.
Really?
Okay. Yes,
it no, is.
Our
easiest
seasonals.
Question
our
of our life.
Ours, yeah. Yeah.
Slam dunk.
Yeah, right.
Landstill, Jay, quote Jay, unquote, unplayable.
Yeah, because Jay wasn't there to pilot it.
So there
exactly.
Yeah, so that is the most, if you want to win in our meta, play, or top eight in our meta, play
Landstill.
Control? Yeah.
It might also have to do with the insane density.
It might. I don't know. Yeah.
In
so,
our meta
yeah.
game.
So
yeah.
this is
New
not.
England,
New England
did
has a
until
lot.
The last regional.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, it could just be how rewarding it is to play a deck like Landstill if you have immense format knowledge.
True.
Because yep. control, you know, if you're going to play control.
Yeah.
Know.
Yeah.
So we actually have a pretty healthy meta. So that was, there are 5 instances of Landstill. Can you guys name the deck that has 4 show ups?
Oh, is it Dreadnought?
Is it Oath Ponza?
Replenish.
It's Replenish.
Yeah, let's go.
So those are
just Rich Shay.
So those are the only 2 decks that have dubbed. So that's like 2 copies in an individual top 8 is Replenish and Landstall are the only 2 ones that have ever dubbed. The other decks that have shown up are Terrigen, various like green white, 4 color with black or with red or just straight band. They're all like they're very much the same deck. Fight me.
Yeah.
But me and Brad, I think we largely agree on that. There's 3 copies of that. Like Ghoul, like turning a ghoul sideways, that's showed up twice.
Mm-hmm.
Sly.
Do you know both instances besides Nick Balzano? Do you know who the other person
Packer?
Was?
Packer. Right. Yeah, Mike Packer.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. Sly has showed up twice, and Stasis has showed up twice in our top 8s. Everything else is a unique instance of showing up in our top 8s, to include fucking Dreadnought. Dreadnought has top eighted our seasonals of the 32 people only once.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Although it had a
probably
really
32 people.
And I mean, it's really on the come up these days, but yeah.
Sure. Whatever.
Wait, what, well, I thought in the last one there were multiple.
We
can
get into
top
that
eight.
In the
oh,
next
no.
32. Segment.
No, there was only one.
Yeah, it was Bryce.
Bryce
Menard. Was the only one.
Bryce was the only one.
Huh.
Yep. That's the only one.
Dragon,
yeah.
Stasis, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So a lot of the stuff is what you would like expect, but like you can show up to our tournaments and play spicy decks. So you can play if you're Colton Abrams, you can play Bug control.
Yeah.
Bug Tide. You can play Parfait with Mulch instead of Land Tax in top 8. You can play Mono Black Control. You can play Hermit Feb. You can play
Mono Thawing. Green Stompy.
You can play Mono Green Big in the Butt Stompy. You can play Thawing Glaciers Red Control. You can play Survival Opposition. You can play Tog. You can play Tinker Combo.
Fucking Dead Guy Ale.
Yeah, you can play Dead Guy Ale.
Whoa.
Like, yeah, so you
Let me see that list.
Yeah, seriously. Right? So, yeah. So there are 6 people who have hit 2 of our top 8s. Can you guys name them all? Yeah,
top 8 twice.
Yeah, top 8 twice.
Rich Shea.
The quarterly Mike Packer.
Yeah. Oh, Rich Shea.
Yeah.
Drew.
Bryce.
Bryce Menard. Drew. Which Drew?
Lemuries.
Yep.
So it's 4.
Yep.
And this is between regionals and ELD?
Just our regionals.
Just our regionals. Just
regionals. So top 8 2?
Andrew Mag.
Jared? Brad Stone.
Jared just got one.
Was Brad Stone the one I was missing? God
yeah, Brad Stone was the one you were missing. Brad, did you know that the top...
Oh, I was only thinking that your recent record.
The one that you won was the last time that you won a tournament.
Wow. Damn.
Oh, no.
Yeah, also,
wait. I need to set the record straight. Technically, I conceded to Brad in the finals. We never actually played the match.
But
I'm just saying.
When was the last time you beat me with Lansdell?
That's very true. I don't think I've ever beat
you. Because I did beat you in that tournament.
True.
Yeah.
And also at like every weekly prior. But still, I'm just saying.
I just feel like
I conceded
all this,
to you. The final wasn't actually.
With that aside, though, this all really just sounds like you're just like losing your touch.
Ooh. Man. You guys are coming at me today.
So that's what's going on with the seasonals.
Lions don't defend themselves in the face of sheep or whatever that
is.
Oh, really?
He's misquoting Messi, right? Lionel Messi. Well, Lion does not justify.
It sounds like an Andrew Tate quote.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow.
Damn.
It's a,
the roast of Brad Stone.
Yeah. Seriously.
It's a Lannister quote.
It was that segment 4?
Yeah, seriously. But it was the villain on the show, though.
Jeez.
So
everybody wants to go for the heel, that's for sure.
So So when I was teasing all this data out, I found something very interesting in that I think that there is somebody that we aren't talking about enough, and that's Drew Lemuries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's good.
He won a tournament. He won one of the regionals.
He won the spring one.
Yeah.
And then
top 8 of the next one.
I'm not saying he's good. I'm saying he is like if you are talking about the best top 8 players in New England, you have to include that guy. I think that everybody is sleeping on him. I think he is one of the best pre-modern players in multiple states.
Drew,
So what does Drew normally pilot?
Lansdell,
yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So he won the spring event with Lansdell, and then he kind of pivoted to Red Green Oath for a bit, and I think he's on a little bit of like a soul seeking journey because I don't think I've seen him play the same deck.
Like he's very like his demeanor is very like controlled.
He is a seasoned legacy player.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know.
I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
So, like, I was kind of trying to see if I could like really tease it out, and I could sit down with Excel and come up. Like, if I really wanted to enter all this data in my hand, I could probably come up with an answer of who the best player in England is. But, like, you have to do math to prove that it's not this guy.
Yeah.
So I think that, like, when we were talking about what we want to talk about on the show, we were like, oh, it's Rich Shea, which is a strong answer. And I compared him pound for pound to Rich. So, ready? Check this the fuck out. So ELD monthlies.
Do you hear the shuffling of papers right now?
He's so ready. Look how Billy has all this.
Right, wait. So I just want to preface this with something though. This doesn't have online monthlies, Facebook monthlies.
So this is
doesn't matter. Listen, Jay,
this is New England.
Do you hear paper?
Yes.
I understand. I'm just saying. If we're talking pound for pound,
Billy
Shea has been going in on webcam
for his job.
I don't.
And he wrote this down on paper. And he is now shuffling paper on a podcast. That means the math is real.
Hang on.
And your opinion is not.
And my opinion is fake.
Yep.
All right.
That's fair.
Get this. Ready? So both Rich and Drew have won ELD monthlies. And they were both 22-person monthlies, separate events. Rich got third slot, made it to semifinals in a 27-person one. Drew made it to semifinals in a 22-person one. So that's a that's a feather in Rich's cap. But check this out. In the seasonals, which are more difficult, better attended tournaments, more people show up, they're harder. So Drew, he won the one that was 68 players. He is first place. But Rich has never won one.
Mm.
And then they both have top eight finishes. And, like, Rich's top finish was a second place of a 71 person. And then Drew's...
was first of 68.
Yeah, so Drew's next best finish was a third place, whereas Rich's... Sorry, was a... Yeah, Rich's second best finish was also a third place.
Wait, Drew got third in the one that Stasis won.
The Chris won, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that was the summer one.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but that is right, though?
Yes.
Okay. That was me more confirming that Drew is who I think they are.
Yes.
And yes, Drew, yes. Drew's the best. Yeah, yeah. Drew's awesome.
So, it's kind of interesting that I'm going so deep on this guy.
We're really stroking him off right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, Drew, you killed it, man.
No.
You killed it this year.
But the thing is that, like, nobody talks about him. And the thing, like, he has, like, although Rich has done slightly better at slightly larger tournaments, at the end of the day, Drew has won an additional game of Magic.
It is unfortunate that Drew won before we had the
podcast.
That's
masked.
Yeah.
Because going forward, it will be the tradition that Hardcast interviews the winner.
They're invited on, and
it's unfortunate that he won before Hardcast had launched.
Yeah.
So,
we should talk to this guy with Jay and just talk about Lancel. That would actually be like a really good technique.
Wow, that sounds like an episode that's gonna go long.
Well, if we wanted to have,
it might be longer than 50 minutes.
If we wanted to have those two on, then we should also have Josh Kuschinkis, the 18-year-old twerp who has been crushing it with blue-white tie.
Who do you guys think is the player who has the most appearances at, like, ELD Monthly, Dress Crew Seasonal, EW?
Who shows up
like
the
just
most?
Just appearances?
No, like top eight appearances. top eight appearances.
Oh, all right. That's different.
And ELD and
ELD Monthly and above,
Shane,
and quarterlies,
Shane.
And EW and
Shane,
Hartford. Yeah. Shane Echeverria.
Oh, yeah.
Absolute monster.
Duress
terrorist.
Crew, silent
Duress
killer.
Crew,
least
yes.
favorite person to be paired against.
Yeah.
Oh,
he has,
in any format.
Yeah.
In
five ELD top eights. Two. He has a seasonal top eight, and he also top eighted Star City Games Harvard.
Yep.
Monster.
Top 16 to LC also.
Never ever happy to sit across from Shane. Ever.
Titan of the table. Colossus of clout.
Beware. Yep.
Colossus of clout. Okay.
It's a matter of time.
Billy, can I ask you a question on behalf of the audience at home listening to this?
And that's not why Jay and I got
punching
turned.
Their steering wheels and saying, what about Brian Seldon? Heard that guy's pretty good.
So Brian,
and he lives in New England.
We did mention him.
Hang on,
we did.
Bro, all right. So the person, hang on, we're getting there.
Is it not enough that every time someone
but
buys
the thing is, I already know
cards.
All that. Everybody already knows all this. Everybody already knows that Brian Seldon, back to back DLC. You're the best player around.
I work with Mike Coyle, whose current job at Sick Deals right now is to envelope up all the TCG orders. And every time someone buys a gold-bordered Brian Seldon card, I just love to, like, put that right at the top of, like, stack.
He could never get
I just want you to know that this one's all set. And it's just, like, three cards. And there's one gold-bordered card. I put it right at the top. And I'd be like, hey, see that signature right there?
And why would, for the listeners, why would Mike Coyle know anything
about
Brian Seldon?
Oh, because Mike Coyle, I will say, has maybe the highest accolade of any of us, which is a finalist of Lobster.
So
and lost in three, I will say, to Brian Seldon.
So the two highest accolades for Duress Crew, so this one is Duress Crew specific, our two best finishes for this year was second place Worcester, always playing second fiddle to Boston.
Yep.
Mike Coyle came in second to Brian Seldon. He was playing Blue-Black Dreadnought with Psychodogs. And then Worcester playing second fiddle to a city 50 times its size, also losing in three, was John the meatballs, darling.
Sean Meatballs, man.
Yeah. The fact.
Text coverage.
Just putting this out there.
Which, who did he lose to?
He lost to Lanny.
Lost to Lanny. Yeah,
give New York some credit.
Friend of the crew. You should listen to his podcast.
Great
Spike
podcast.
Colony. Spike Colony.
Spike Colony. Great podcast. Great podcast.
A podcast for non-idiots, they actually say.
Used to say.
They wanted the idiot demographic. They wanted to take it from us.
They wanted to expand.
Notably,
globalization.
Yeah. Notably, there were no New Yorkers who top aided Star City Games Hartford, which was the closest tournament between Worcester and New York. So,
there's that.
Shots fired.
Hey, data gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many people did we have in the top eight there? Was it
five? Five people in the top eight. Yep.
And there is a legendary photo.
Yes.
Yeah. May I ask the devil's advocate question? How many from New York showed up to that event?
No. Not a lot.
None?
Yeah. Rolling Chain was there.
Was it zero?
True. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, let me think. So there are two people in the New England scene who have managed to win an ELD monthly. There are only two. Can you name them?
Wait, who have managed to win an ELD
Who have won ELD monthlies. There are two.
There are two people who have won ELD monthlies.
In the past year.
From?
In 12 ELD monthlies. Only two people have won them?
Who have won two of them. There are two people who have won two? Exactly. The only people who have repeated victories.
Billy.
Billy and Rich Shea.
You.
Myself and Mike Pack.
Oh, and Mike Pack.
Rich has only won one.
Yes, and mine has a huge asterisk.
Mike Packer is not a sleeper anymore, that's for sure.
That is true, yeah. So mine has an asterisk. I was in 10th at the end of the Swiss.
True.
Ninth went home because they're like, oh, I'm in 9th, I'm going to go home. And then after they left, Nick Pinn was like, oh, I should just take the store credit and then just go home. And I was like, well, 9th went home and I'm in 10th, so you should just...
Drop and let me get in.
And then I went in.
Oh, and then you just crushed the top.
And then I refused to split.
And you refused to split.
And then
wow.
I yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah, the other one
but
was...
But also well done. Good job.
The first one that
I was thrilled to see that one.
When everybody sufficiently bullied me to with the whole, like, if you don't expect to win.
Yeah.
And then I just started winning.
The Billy Boo Camp was one of my favorite 2024
moments. Yes.
True.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was... Yeah.
The what?
The Billy Boo Camp.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this?
We taught him how to not.
Sometimes
be
I like miss Discord stuff. Yeah. So
we
like...
just played Kanye's new workout plan on repeat and just grinded games.
Yeah. So what happened is I was new to the format and then I brewed too hard at LobsterCon and I ate shit and I just like kept eating shit for like another 4 months and like I would go like, oh, I'm 3-3 on a brew. I'll improve my brew. And then I would just go like 3-3
again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Era.
So most, yeah, so major ELD top eight ringers, Brad's got 3. Mike Packer has 2 appearances and 2 wins. Jay has 4 appearances and a win.
Woo!
I've got 2 appearances, 2 wins. Shane has 5 appearances and no wins. And then he has 2 seasonal top eights and a top 16 at LC. What the fuck? Josh Kachu. Yeah, so those are all like the local ringers. So this is all on like a table on a piece of paper that I'm holding in my hands.
That sounded awful for the for the listeners.
No, it sounded fine. Yeah. I am looking at the waveforms right now.
Let me see here.
And us laughing.
Why, you have a bunch of cartoons of Brad like being like stabbed and like, you know, yeah. Hurt, like,
what's this whole like, page of just jokes? Like weird stabbings of Brad that you're having?
What else is interesting here? Yeah.
That's just drips of blood down the paper. Yeah, so blood and Brad.
Like looking at all of this, if I were to say like my top 4 and like would be pretty prepared to back it up with data. I think like the best 4 people in pre-modern in this is my
personal. I love this.
This is
I,
not.
I can't wait for yeah. this. We should have a drum roll.
Hang on.
Wait, shut up.
This is a
drum roll.
Drum roll inserts.
No, you don't have to do it because I'm going to do it digitally.
Oh, I get it.
Mike Packer, Rich Shea, Shane Echeverria, and Drew Lemuries are probably the best 4 people.
And if you sit down across from them, your butthole should be puckered.
Those are definitely 4 that I'm just like, all right, my record is X and minus 1.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, the record is.
I'm going to go have a butt break.
Yeah.
I I would put myself in top 16.
Sure. I have in the Swiss beat two of those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So but you know.
Yeah.
But we've played a lot against Shane and, you know, them.
Nick.
Yeah.
Are you top 8, top 16, or top 32?
I don't know, Billy. I'm not the math guy.
You have to.
But I will say,
I'm not choosing for myself.
Nick, I'll speak for you. I never ever beat Nick. Yeah. Ever.
Well, you always play decks that I beat, though.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care. It doesn't even deck. Even decks that you're 50%
of.
It does not matter.
Yeah. Oh, I hate sitting across from Nick.
I hate fucking playing Nick.
I love sitting across from Nick because I always play either Oath or Firebug. Yeah. It's great. Yep. Yep.
I never ever win.
Yeah.
Are you top 8, top 16, or top 32?
Like personally, do I think
comparing against these other names?
I think I'm probably like a bubble boy.
Bubble boy.
I'm probably sitting right on that like low 8th, maybe 9th, 10th.
You have a lot of tick marks next to your name.
I also will say I don't think I played in that many ELD monthlies, especially in like the latter part of the year.
Jay is
easily one of the better players of the dress crew, for sure.
I would put Jay top 16.
I'm going to jump in and put myself at a strong 52.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jay, there's only like 4 people who have more ELD top 8s than you. You've won one. You're a LobsterCon top 8 last year, or whatever, year before last. You've top 8 at a seasonal.
Yeah.
And this is all on multiple decks. So I think that I have to force you to pick a number.
Force me to pick a number? I guess I will not so humbly say top 8.
Top 8?
Yeah.
I think I'm top 16. You think you're top 8? Yeah. Hell yeah. Okay, Brad. So. What are you?
You already said I was top 32, so.
You're in the top 32, but where? Yeah, are you top 8, lately. Top 16, or top 32?
I'm going to go like 13.
13?
Yeah, I'm gonna be humble.
The rest crew is not
bubbling yourself at the top 12. Bubbling yourself at 12.
I don't know.
Can
we move on from this segment?
Number 33.
I'm like, all right, so I'm doing this absolutely on purpose because I'm watching these people just squirm.
Just hate answering these questions.
Yes.
I love this segment so much.
Let me think here.
Let's wrap it. Let's move on to the state of the format.
Actually, the data says
whatever your answer
is. We're falling off the rails.
I've got a lined piece of paper here.
It says objectively, you're an ass.
I agree with the top 4, though, I will say.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I agree with top 4, yeah.
Rude Slay plays Reanimator. He wins a lot.
Sure does.
He's top 8 in ELD and he's 1-1 in ELD on Dragon Reanimator in Original Brew, which is an admirable pursuit. Let me think. Nick Mayo, top 16. That's you.
Buddy.
LobsterCon.
On a tier 3 deck.
On a tier 3 deck.
In your dreams.
Brian,
no, not at all.
Brian Sue. I hope I'm saying your name right. You are new to the format, and you've top 8ed 2 ELDs. That's great. I haven't seen you around except at those, so, like, you've got good conversion.
Nice is.
Justin Provencal, also a recently bought
True.
Into yeah recently yeah. bought into the format.
Big come up on that guy.
Yeah, just like showed up and started doing well.
Dude, he absolutely bodied me with Landstill last time I played. Yeah. Well, yeah. Unlike Jay has ever bodied me.
CEDH grinder.
Man, catching strays.
All right, I think I'm gonna pull the rope back into my end.
Yeah, I'm good. I would love to
move on to the state of the format, guys. This is. Open question to whoever wants to go first.
Do you want to wake me up?
What do you think about the current state of pre-modern?
It's fine.
Blue is underpowered.
True.
Yeah, unbanned brainstorm.
True.
Current state of the format, I think, is it. We've gotten into a cycle. In pre-modern, where players have gotten really good at brewing powerful decks. And I think previously in the format, players weren't brewing powerful decks. Players honestly were playing shitty decks. And that's fine. It's fine that you play shitty decks, and it's fine to brew powerful decks. The problem is that when you start playing good cards in good decks,
you're going to do better than the average. And we have seen players figure out what cards are good, figure out what decks are good, and play those good cards and do well with them. And other people aren't that happy about it. And the format goes on, and that's fine, but some people don't enjoy it. The problem is that other people still continue to find new and better broken cards and broken synergies and play good decks. And it all then happens again, where those new decks are powerful and do better than everybody else. And it continually cycles where there's a best deck now. And the problem is that people seem to think that that best deck is going to be the best deck forever. And that hasn't proven to be true. Beginning of this year, we saw Red Green Oath come up, and that deck absolutely fucking crushed everything. That deck, we were talking about the monthlies here in Massachusetts. That deck crushed 2 monthlies in a row. Actually, maybe 3 monthlies in a row.
It was annihilated.
I lost to it in the finals, I believe, of January.
To who?
No, in February.
Or, no, in
January, Slywan.
I beat it in a mirror match in March. Yeah. Lost to it in February. Yes. And it dominated, you know, 3 of the top 4 spots across 2 monthlies. Crushing it on MTGO. And everybody, you could go back to March, April, May of this year in Discord and look at the ban thread, and people were just crying. Ban Mox Diamond, ban Thermokarst, ban Oath of Druids. That one I think is a little bit more reasonable. But still, saying that there was this unbeatable presence in the format. The exact same thing is happening right now with Mono Blue Tide. And I don't think people are entirely wrong about wanting something to change. But the problem is that they're asking for it from the wrong place. Don't be asking Martin Berlin for fixes to the format. Because if all you want is for the format to go back to a place where everybody is playing a shitty deck, you need to try and learn how to put toothpaste back into a bottle after you've already squeezed it out. You can't. Once people start playing with good cards and start learning how to build decks in a format, that is a Pandora's box that you can't close. So instead, start asking yourself, how do I beat this deck? How do I attack it from an angle that it can't handle? Honestly, not enough people are playing aggressive decks right now. Goblins is on an insane downtick. I think that a lot of the, whether it's looking at something new that you can be doing or looking at stuff that people were doing in the past that maybe they aren't doing as much anymore, you can attack these decks from a different angle. So quite frankly, I understand the fatigue that some players are having with the format right now, where they feel like all they're doing is playing against Dreadnought, all they're doing is playing against Tide or Replenish. But I think people need to have a slightly different approach to the format, where if you just want to play casual, you know, Magic against your buddies, by all means, do that. But, and I know not everybody's going to love to hear this, but in my opinion, if you show up to a competitive tournament with just whatever deck you want to play, your goals probably should align with that. And maybe shouldn't be, I expect to win the tournament. But if that is your goal, and you do want to win a tournament, then attack the metagame as a problem. Say, okay, I'm not trying to fit a square peg into a round hole and playing my, you know, deck that was good in 2019 pre-modern to a win. Instead, 2024, 2025 pre-modern, how do I win? What deck is going to let me attack the metagame in such a way that I feel I have the best shot of winning every matchup that I sit down across from the decks that I'm probably most likely going to play?
Yeah, and I mean, I think, like, I don't know, people ignore certain data to, like, kind of have some sort of confirmation bias, right? Like Ben has said a bunch of times today, like, Brew won our 71-person event. It's the largest event besides Obstacon this year, right? Mm-hmm. And Brew won it. A deck called Beefcake, all right, mono green, got top 8.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I did the numbers on that report, 25% of the room was untied.
Mm-hmm.
There's ways to do it.
And you know what was, I mean, obviously it's not going to happen every time, but against a deck like Replenish that's looking to turn 3, turn 4, you know, do the tide combo or whatever, you know what's pretty great? Not giving them a second turn.
Right. You know, I think part of the thing is people in pre-modern especially, they get like scarred from like certain time periods, right? Mm-hmm. Of like early this year was Burn, Red Green Oath and stuff, right? Like, in the Elf Discord, I've talked to some players about how I don't necessarily always board for Goblins. Why? Because I looked at the last 4 New England events and went, wow, there have been 3 Goblins at 4 of these events.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to assume I'm not going to run into them. Yep. There's no reason for me to do that. There's no reason for you to run maybe like all this creature hate if the creatures are down.
So like 230 players total?
It was like 1.5% Goblins or something. You okay. know what I mean? Yeah, and there's people who are running, like, you know, all this hate for creatures, and you're just like, well, okay, maybe that's not the best play, right? So you gotta look at your data, you gotta look at your meta, you gotta look at what you're running into and try and adjust for, like Jay's saying. Yeah. Run Red Blast.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's really good. Hey, Red Blast.
I've always come from a perspective when it comes to pre-modern. I am not looking to ban cards, I am looking to beat them. So when we were playing in the land tax meta for so long, I wasn't interested in beating in banning land tax. I was interested in beating it, and I was interested in putting cards in my deck that were really good against that deck in particular, because I thought that it was format warping at the time, and I was just interested in beating at it. I was staying out of the ban discussions, and I was just putting my head down and just trying to figure out, like, how can I make... Oh, what was I playing at the time? Red Green Pyro Oath. I was like, how can I make Red Green Pyro Oath just like crush this matchup and like get through like a tournament? And I'm in the same position now as I always have been, where I'm not interested in talking about bans. I'm really just interested in tuning my deck and what I play to be the strongest that it can be against the meta, and trying to figure it out myself, with the help of others, of course, in Discord. And I definitely stand with Martin Berlin, that when you look at the data, you're seeing very diverse top eights. You're seeing just this huge slew of decks performing. You're seeing a pretty good balance of colors with the exception of black, of course. But you know what? Like, I think that not every color necessarily needs to have an exact equal representation at the table in a format like this. But where I'm at and where I've always been is just putting my head to the grindstone, trying to tune my decks to beat what is out there and trying to figure it out.
And actually, can I just say one more thing? I do realize that for a lot of people, there might be one point of contention in saying that if you have cards to play X deck and X deck is not good in the meta, how does that fare for you? And for a lot of people, it's going to be, well, I want the meta to change so that X deck is good. And I guess largely what I'm saying is that you should be looking beyond that. You should be looking at other decks. You should be looking to, you know, how can you... a tournament doesn't start at round one. A tournament always starts at deck selection. How can you put yourself in the best position to win a tournament? And for not for every single person is... No, sorry, not every person has the entire format at their fingertips. And I understand that. And I realize that some players have their decks that, you know, they've spent their money to put together, they've built, and that's what they have. And that's something that I want to stress, is the importance of community and the importance of having people that you can go to say, hey, look, I really want to play in this upcoming Duress Crew Open, and I don't think my deck is very well positioned right now. I think I can attack the meta by playing this different deck, but I don't have these cards. Reach out to your friends. Honestly, if you're somebody that showed up to the Dress Crew Opens, reach out to me or any of us, honestly.
For real.
We can get cards into people's hands.
Happy to lend cards.
Absolutely more than happy to lend cards. I lent out Red Green Oath to a buddy for this last event. I lent out entire decks before. It's something that I don't want anybody to say that, like, I wasn't able to put a deck together that was going to be good in the meta. So therefore, I just played some old deck and I didn't have a good time because I got crushed. I want everybody to just sit down with the best intentions of trying to win the tournament. And if that means getting some cards to you that you might not have access to, fuck yeah. Reach out.
Reach out to us. We will help you.
All right, my turn. I'm going to go significantly more granularly and actually give you an answer. Play four color Terrageddon.
Oh, wait. Can you shuffle some papers for us real quick, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us that objective.
No, I'm serious. Into the mic.
Okay. Ready?
Oh, that means data. That's right.
Good data. Yeah. That's that good data.
So, that means that's the right answer.
So, and this is why. Play four color Terrageddon. And the reason is because you can play circles around. I would say that the sort of like the fucked up decks that feel like unfair to lose to are mono blue Dreadnought, Replenish, and either red green or green white Oath. But they're the same deck. It's just one uses Pyroclasm versus Swords, whatever. They're the same deck. You will play circles around red green. You will play circles around the Oath deck. You can, if you're bothered by it, you can play Ray of Revelation if you're really stressed out about it. But ultimately, if you just learn the play patterns, you can fuck people up under their own spheres. You will crush them. Against the mono blue Dreadnought Tide people, you can just play a bunch of red blasts. Post board, you have four swords, four naturalized disenchant effects, four red blasts, and four meddling mages. Like, they have better card draw than you, but you just have the density. And you'll just annihilate them. And against Replenish, you just need to know what to name with Meddling Mage. The answer is Swords on the first one, mm-hmm. Parallax Wave on the second one, mm-hmm. Replenish on the third one.
There you go.
And then if you see Wrath, I can imagine naming that somewhere in the chain. But play that deck, and you'll beat those decks. That's it. That's all I have to say. All
right. Yeah. What
just
makes you
draw
guys...
three Meddling Mages.
Yeah. Hey, easy. And
we'll
then
get
you
to
can't
this
lose.
In Talking Terrageddon.
Yep.
My next question.
Oh, is that
guys...
a whole segment for this episode?
No.
It's a new podcast. Launching the brand new
offshoot podcast
on the Dress Crew Network.
Yeah. We're getting there.
Talking Terrageddon. How to make Terrivor good in 2027. Here we go.
All right.
My next question.
Play Quicksand.
Shut the fuck up. What makes you guys excited to play the format these days?
Oh, wow.
What makes you guys excited to play Premodern these days?
Just being able to play.
Yeah.
Valid answer.
When I say to you we're going to Eternal Weekend, I was like, dude, this is the first big event we get to go to that we have no part in, that we are not running anything. We're showing up with decks, and we're just playing.
It was a vacation.
It was amazing.
Hell yeah.
It was sick. I will say one thing that makes me excited to play Pre-Modern. So, quick tangent, if anybody is exclusively a Pre-Modern player, they can probably tune out for a hot minute or two. But I was playing in a... there you go. I was playing in a standard RCQ the other night, and... had to go into layers with a judge over Tashana's Tidebinder and Kaido. And these, it just...
What the fuck?
Cards.
Did someone invite Mike Flores to this podcast? Look, why are we talking about standard?
Because my point being...
Let's go.
My point being that the board state was getting to such a complicated, convoluted point that I honestly did just look down and go, wow... Premodern kind of has spoiled me with like how simple and digestible the board states can be.
Yeah.
Even when you're making complicated decisions and there are interesting kind of focal points and kind of hinge points in the matches, the general gameplay or the general board states are still kept relatively simple. And I really, really, really appreciated that the other night, looking at the board state and standard, because it was just like, I got enchantments that are creatures, and then I got creatures that are becoming enchantments, and I got shit that's turning off other shit, and it takes a lot out of you.
Billy.
Yeah.
What makes you excited to play pre-modern these days?
Honestly, I go through these cycles where I experience like personal success when I feel inspired, and then I like take a break and fuck off. So right now I am choosing to fuck off by playing Legacy and by TOing and by making content. So the way that I experience joy in pre-modern is making a podcast and by organizing community shit. Probably gonna revisit Jund Flow. You know, it seems pretty bad, but like I had a pretty, you know, solid run at EW, and I'm like very satisfied with my performance lately. So like I have a lot of, my diaper is dry, right?
Nice.
I can get a little pissy.
Nice.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yep.
What I get excited for these days is the hangs with not only my friends, but just the community at large. Exactly. I think that I've taken a good step back from like putting pressure on myself to try and perform at these events and feel like I need to perform. And at this point, you know, I'm with Billy in a sense that I'm very much into taking a step back from the competitiveness to make content, to create events, to create really awesome things for the crew, you know, whether it be like proxies or t-shirts or crew necks, whatever. I'm really into that lately. And I'm really just into just going to these meetups and just seeing familiar faces that I don't get to see super often, connecting with familiar faces and just having a good time hanging out and just enjoying the entire scene. And yeah, taking a step back a little bit from the competitiveness and all that pressure and everything, and just trying to enjoy the time that I have to play this format and to hang out with my friends.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So why don't we move on?
Yeah.
I think that was good. Let's move on to props and slops. Lightning round.
Let's go.
First question. Props to your favorite event of the year, Jago.
Probably the most recent regional. I need to split this into favorite event to attend, which is probably EW.
Sure.
And favorite event that we ran, probably this most recent regional.
Boom. Billy.
The February and November ELD monthlies.
Nice.
Oh, really?
Why is that? Wow. I wonder who won those.
LobsterCon. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Yeah, LobsterCon's name.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to go LobsterCon as well, but it's so tight between LobsterCon and Eternal Weekend that it's kind of insane, because LobsterCon is just the event of the year, but Eternal Weekend is 4 days long, and it's in Pittsburgh. It's not in my home state. I get to drive with the homies down there,
right.
You know, hang out somewhere new, experience all these new things. It was just absolutely incredible. So it's like 51-49 in my book.
Has the rescue mentioned we love Pittsburgh?
Oh,
dude.
Favorite city.
Crazy.
It's favorite awesome. City.
It's almost like Worcester.
I think I said on one of the podcasts Worcester. That it was the best city in the United States.
It's close.
Pittsburgh. All right.
Yep.
Slops to the card that ruined your day.
Good.
The card
Jay.
That... Tashana's Tidebinder gave me a stroke the other night.
Hey! We don't talk about standard
on Oh, you meant in pre-modern.
Yes.
Yeah. You should have said that.
Podcast.
You should have said that.
What do you think?
Probably Armageddon.
Is it not the Hell clock? Yeah.
What?
Match clock?
Yeah, it could be. Could be the clock. He grumbles. Yeah, I'm going to go Armageddon.
Billy.
I don't. The card that ruined my day.
In 2024.
What?
Dominate?
No, it didn't ruin my day.
You kept talking about how much Dominate he took.
It was a stole sick, your elephant.
That was like an astute meta call by a player I respect at a high level tournament. It didn't ruin my day. I'm stoked he won. Yeah, he made a smart call.
Okay, so what's your slop?
I would say my slops are probably Burning Wish and Smokestack. because I want to play them so bad, and they always tempt me into playing bad decks and bad brews.
That's fair.
Those, I would say those two are like the deck, the cards I really want to play, and I put them in decks and I lose, and I, then that's, yeah, that was my Piss Baby era. It was my like Burning Wish Smokestack era.
All right.
Yeah.
Nick.
All right, this is going to be a little off the wall. Attunement.
Okay.
Fuck that card. No, card is there you go. Stupid.
The enabler, cool. Right?
It's a cool card.
Card is it's cool. Not
especially
a cool
against
card.
Elves.
You just can't interact. You can't interact with it.
Yeah.
Unless it's, you're playing blue.
It's disadvantage.
When you're playing, elves, the attunement player is playing replenish.
Right.
Which is like your 90-10 matchup in your disfavor.
It's
so.
Blue's recurring nightmare.
Hot take.
Yeah.
Ben.
I did sadly call Jay on this, but I'm going to cross formats here because this has hit me in both formats.
Oh, God.
Stifle.
Okay. Yeah. I like that answer.
That's Stifle my fetch land. You are forever my enemy.
I hate you. Yeah,
I hate you. I hate you.
But also, like,
fuck you.
But also, like, that must be nice, right?
Yeah.
I've done it a couple. It feels great.
Hell yeah. Slops to the card that ruined my day was Replenish. When I lost to Rich Shea, I believe it was the month after I won. I went through the entire tournament undefeated. I went into top 8 only to pair into Rich Shea on Tropical Enchantress. I had him dead to rights in game 3, and he drew his only out, which was Replenish, and I was not being a good lad and playing Tormod's Crypt or any form of Grave Hate, and I got in game 3 after going undefeated on the entire day, so Replenish is my slops. Jay, props to the best piece of advice you received this year.
Ooh. All right, I've been first every single time, and I take a pass on that one.
Okay.
All right, Billy.
You go fifth.
The best piece of advice that I learned this year was that I need to, trust the data. So it's like I have played a fairly, they're like literally always Mox, Diamond, Sylvan, Library decks, but I've done everything you can do with those, and it's just like, no, like, when you are choosing what deck and what cards to play at a tournament, like, literally just go in any of my Excel spreadsheets, which I love, just like, just play the cards that win. Chill the fuck out. Just play the cards that win. Play the deck that wins. Like, you're gonna fuck it up. Unless you've had enough time to build a data set, you're gonna fuck it up. Play the simple cards. Play what wins. Play the deck that wins. Yeah. Or just get over it and stop crying and stop trying to make Burning Wish Smokestack work.
Word.
Yeah.
For me, it was about upping my table game. So, like, I didn't realize how important that is in matches. Against Duresker, my table game is fucking horrible. But against, like, people I don't know, like, I've been working on it a lot to really try and make sure I'm not, you know, telling people what's in my hand and stuff. If Billy's playing against me, he'll see me get pissed, and he knows when he's got me dead to rights. But, you know, like, working on your table game's huge. You know, this game is part poker. Make sure you're really working on that.
Yeah.
Benjamin.
Oh, don't play fair decks in pre-modern. I've just been trying to...
Who told you not to do that?
Oh, Brad did! And all of you did in one way or another. Whether it was expressly telling me or just, like, you know, dumpstering me until I was just like, oh, maybe this deck that's, like, kind of cool is just, like, if you want to win, you gotta do something a little unfair. And, yeah.
Cool.
That's really it.
Yeah. Okay. So my props to the best piece of advice that I received this year had to do, it was a non-Magic podcast, and the gist of what I took away from it is that you cannot control what is going to happen around you at the table in terms of your opponent's top decking, in terms of your opponent's playing the right cards at the right time. The only thing that you can do is play to the best of your abilities with what you have and the information that you have. Mm-hmm. And if you do that and you don't get there, that's okay, because you did the best that you could. You know, you worked with the information that you have, and there are a lot of things in Magic that are beyond your control. And when you get into these situations where you try your best and you lose, it's okay. You 100%. Did your best. You worked with what you had. The odds just didn't line up in your favor, and that's okay.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna kind of piggyback off that. So this year has been a huge year for me because I largely got back into competitive Magic after a long, long break. Started grinding like RCQs again and playing a lot more Magic outside of just pre-modern. And I guess just like a couple of quick hits of like important things that I've learned over the year. Just play the good cards. If you think that you... If you're not sure, but you think you might have an angle on something, odds are you probably want to just play the good cards. If you are somebody that usually plays, like, I'm an aggro player, I'm a control player. This was actually a tweet I remembered. I was scrolling through my all my photos from this year earlier, and I had screenshotted a tweet that was something along the lines of, like, there's no such things as one tricks. There are just players who have gaps in their game. People will shoehorn themselves as like, I'm an aggro player. And more than likely, you're not an exceptionally good aggro player. You're just a player who isn't very good at playing mid-range or control decks. And try playing other decks. Learn where those gaps in your game are and fill them in. Do your best to put in the work and you'll improve. And eventually you'll get to a point where you don't feel like you need to, oh, I have to play this type of deck in a meta. Instead, I can play whatever I want, and I can attack the meta from any different angle. And then the other thing was kind of piggybacking off of what Brad was saying, which was, Brad, what were you saying?
I was saying that, you know, you can't control
Every single person... not everybody can win every tournament. You can't go into a tournament and just be like, oh, I'm going to skill diff my way entirely to the end. Every single tournament requires some amount of luck to get to cross the finish line. The only thing that you can control is putting yourself in a position where when the luck turns out in your favor, that you are able to capitalize on it.
Yeah.
So there are going to be tournaments where you feel like you make every right decision, and likely you did, but it just still didn't work out. You still 0-2 dropped, and that's fine. If we didn't like the variance in Magic, we would all be playing chess instead. So understand that the variance is there. It's going to happen, but when the variance is on your side, that's when you got to take advantage of it. If you're punting it away, that's when your win percentage is going to slip.
Cool. All right.
Right on. Exactly.
We're going to go in reverse order here, starting with Ben. And as host, I must insist that you say props to or slops to from now on. Next one. Props to the hero deck of the format, in your opinion, starting with Ben.
No, this is fucked. This is unfair. Props to the hero deck?
Yeah.
Like,
what's the hero deck these days?
The hero deck.
Who are you rooting for?
Mono Green Stompy.
That's hell
yeah.
Answer.
Yeah, but you didn't say props to.
Props to!
So you're disqualified.
Oh, no! Oh, I guess I'm going to go stand outside.
Moving on to Nick.
Shit.
Props to Iggy Pop, man.
Yes.
That's a hero deck right there.
Love that deck.
Iggy Pop?
Yeah, Storm. Blueback Storm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Props to the professor of Ghoul School. Yeah, Nick Balzano on Tin Fins, doing it within a context of other people saying, like, what does Black need help with? Like, literally, like a kid declining an IEP. Just... Yeah. Just graveyard hate is not that common. It's not like a dredge effect going on right now. And just, you know, turn zeroing Richey,
yeah,
winning a tournament on amazing, an unpopular deck when we're talking about, like, you need some help there, buddy?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Locking me out of top 8 of that tournament.
Yeah.
It's hard to think of a greater hero than Nick Balzano.
Yeah. For sure. And I'd have to say props to anybody that does it with a, you know, a deck that is outside of the defined meta.
Yeah.
And I think Nick is just, like, the first, the best answer, or the best example of that. He absolutely crushed it with a deck that was, And I mean, honestly, even Chris Roy with the one before
Stasis,
the regional before
crushed it
with Stasis, which going into a New England meta that is traditionally control heavy was a fantastic choice going to that meta. And I know some people are gonna say slops to that Stasis is never a hero, but nah, props to him, props to Nick.
I am cutting in. I just wanted to say that at every one of our seasonals, we have had somebody top eight, or in some cases multiple top eights, of just like, what the fuck are they playing?
Oh, yeah. Fucking blue-green opposition.
Yeah, so last one was Tin Fins and Big Green Booty. One before that, we had Survival Opposition.
Blue-red Tinker deck was...
Yeah, but that's already an established deck.
Sure.
Yeah, they're still off-meta. Yeah. The one before that, we had Thawing Glaciers Red, and the one before that, we had Bug Tide, mm-hmm. like a Tide Pernicious Deed.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Two of those were by Alex Bag, too, which is pretty sick and notable.
Yeah.
My props, I want to give an answer, but I am going to give my props to Elves. Talk about a fucking amazing, awesome... Just incredible deck that is so cool and so many people have written off
super under
for so long and
underrepresented.
Ban worthy,
underplayed. The old boogeyman of the format.
It'll get there.
I am giving my props to Elves.
It'll get there one day.
One day.
One day people will be calling for the ban of like what? What do you think?
Survival
against
Survival?
It was Cradle and Wire.
Gaia's Cradle?
No.
Wirewood.
No, yeah.
Symbiote?
So far.
Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. Well, but they didn't want Survival Ban because it's in other decks, blah, blah, blah.
All right, I'm taking it back. Yeah. Slops. We're back to Slops. Slops, Jay, to your worst performance of the year.
I got that. I think I might have lost a winning in once.
Oh, God.
Oh, fuck off.
Oh, you man.
Wait. You mean to lost, time?
Didn't you just... No, no, I wasn't... No, you didn't lose two... You just lost two winning ins like the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, but you know.
We're not talking about standard.
Yeah, really? Yeah, come on.
Well, that's your biggest loss is playing standard.
Yeah, well, yeah. Fair.
Monetarily.
Yeah. Slops to standard.
Yeah, slops to...
Slops to lose. Standard yeah. as a format.
Oh, standard's great.
No, it looks great. I
Billy.
Literally built me a standard deck on Arena before we recorded this that I'm excited to play.
Billy, slops to your worst performance of the year?
Probably... Star City Games, Hartford.
Yeah,
and it was like bad enough that it like caused me like a like emotional realignment with how I approach the game and like how I play Magic, why I play Magic. Like it was a wound that made me stronger, but it was a deep wound.
Mine's was probably. Eternal Weekend.
What Eternal Weekends?
2024.
Slops
to Eternal Weekend.
Oh, yeah,
2024.
Actually, I did know
you and I,
that.
Of course,
one drop that.
For listeners at home, Brad and I have played in so many of the same events over the past year. We have not got paired once at an event. We just never get fucking paired. And we travel to Pittsburgh together. We get paired in round one.
2 years in a row.
Two fucking years in a row. Like, yeah, that was a rough day. I went like. 2-2-1 or something.
Which
yeah.
You guys ID'd round one, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I ID'd because yeah. Brad would have crushed me if I didn't ID.
And then I paired into which actually slops to that event because I then paired into Brad round two, lost to him. And,
all right, we get the real yeah. answer out of Jay.
Yeah, and
there we go.
Packed it up at 0-1-1. Was like, all right, I'm done. Time to go play in some other side events.
Benjamin slops.
Oh man, for as much love as I have for the deck, it was registering River Bower. Leave me alone.
And
Wild Mongrel, when I was halfway there, whereas Call of the Herd in Sly is a great idea,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
but the full green, red-green type of thing is just not a great idea. It's too fair.
Mm.
So, like, I almost cracked it by myself, but, like, not really.
Yeah. Mm.
So that big sloppy, Wild Mongrel's not.
To LobsterCon, right?
Yeah. River Boa, just like, oh, so close. But like, not quite.
But so far away.
Not so far away. Yeah.
I'm giving my slops to LobsterCon. my infamous, I don't even know what it was, 1-3 hangover, sleep deprived drop, just
triple B,
just a bad day of magic, and
BBB, yeah, potentially, not just a record label. It is actually
potentially one of those days like Billy where I had to kind of take a step back.
Like, no, it's not me. Like, look at that guy.
No, take a step back and just kind of reevaluate, you know, where I was in this format and what my priorities were and what I was overvaluing and undervaluing. But
yeah,
big old slops to that awful performance. And we're going to go on to some props. Props to the best meal of the year cooked by a duress crew man. Jade, can I start with you?
Yeah,
or
no,
would you like
fine.
Me to defer to Billy?
I think...
Or we could just do dishes or meal? Because I feel I can't remember specifically.
I was...
Sure, whichever.
Yeah. So flipping through my phone, again, I was just trying to refresh my memory on for the past year. So I just went through my entire photo roll from the past year. And I do have a tendency of taking photos of dinners that dress crew members cook. So some quick shout outs. Billy, I believe it was you that did a ramen with salmon.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Yep.
Nick made some absolutely fire fried fish that was just like so perfectly fried.
That was on my props for sure.
What
in
else?
Contention.
And then huge, something we haven't really mentioned, over the summer we did, I believe we're set to call it the first annual pig roast. But that was fucking amazing, and that pig came out so good.
Nick Pinn ate the eye.
Yeah, that's true.
And meatballs.
Yeah. And meatballs, yep. The two of them.
Gnarly.
They toasted it.
Yeah.
Gnarly.
Absolutely gnarly, but that pig was fantastic, so those would be just some quick hits for my props.
My prop is Pat Sweet homemade corned beef hash. Every year for my birthday, or past 2 years for my birthday, I said, I want breakfast for dinner. And the gang gets together and we have breakfast for dinner because, like, homemade diner breakfast, or whatever, you get it, you know, bacon, eggs, toast, pancakes, all that stuff. That's my favorite meal. And Pat Sweet has made homemade corned beef hash both times, and it was excellent both times.
Also, shout out to Pat Sweet's banh mi's at LobsterCon.
Oh my god.
Woo!
Yep. Yeah, no one messaged me about that. Did they send me the recipe?
Yeah.
So, Jay took mine, which is the pig roast, because Jay loves taking all my choices.
I'm sorry.
But I gotta give a shout out to Mike Coyle's Italian divorce soup. That is a banger. For those who are not in the know, it's Italian wedding soup, but instead of meatballs, it's got sausage in it instead. It's absolutely insane. It's as good as it sounds.
Yeah,
it's spicy. That's why
it's spicy. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Why it's divorce soup because it's a spicy Italian wedding soup. Yeah.
Ben.
Oh, earlier today I made some wet food for my cat Alma.
Ben likes chicken thighs, guys.
I got the tap water at the perfect like temperature that she was just like all about it and made it like really stinky for her. And she's been just like in a great mood since. So like that, as far as Duress Crew member meals go, I think that actually is the best I've done so far. So I can't
work. Go ahead.
There's just so many things that come to mind for the props on best meal of the year. Nick's fish is obviously up there. Pat's pork belly is always up there. Every single meal that Billy makes that includes a hefty amount of chickpeas is up there.
Yo, Coyle's, what were the fucking bags?
Oh,
spice
bags?
Those were so good.
Those were insane.
Those were so good.
I'm going to give my props to Coyle's lava green curry that just annihilated everybody's palate with spice.
Up, dude.
And, you know, it's not necessarily the best meal of the year, but it's one of the most memorable. And my favorite thing was Nate Yates eating an entire bowl of the spiciest curry on the planet. And after he finishes it, he's like, wait, there was rice to go with this? He's just raw dogging this curry.
I don't think I was there.
And
that's
it's
amazing.
So spicy with no, just not cutting it at all. Just goes straight through it, so...
That's
props
sick.
To Coyle for the spiciest curry on the planet.
So I'll jump back in real quick. Just to thank Nick for appealing to my, like, super limited palate as far as food goes. Making, like, the best, like, just like oven chicken thighs. just make sure that there was something for me to eat at every like hang. Gotcha. Thank you so much. Those were fucking delicious. Thanks.
Hell yeah, brother. All right, we got another. This is going to be a little controversial, but we're doing another prop after our prop.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So the next prop is to the most underrated pre-modern crew out there.
Ooh. Underrated?
Yeah.
Underrated.
Who is the most underrated pre-modern crew?
We going clockwise?
Whichever way. Whoever wants to start on this one, because, you know. All right,
I'll start. My answer is easy. It's us. It's us.
That was my joke.
Sorry, bud. Oh, maybe don't go third next time. Maybe
it's us. We are the most underrated crew. It's not even close.
Nick. Wherever Nick knows we're everybody, going, we're so going Nick can, up. Nick can give all the solid shout-outs to all of the very deserving other people.
I've got at least two options.
Yeah.
Two choices. East Bay Punks.
Rule.
Those guys are awesome. Good people. Very closely aligned with us. Like, same, like, culture, same everything. We finally got to meet them in person at Eternal Weekend this year. It was really sick. And I might get the name wrong, but I know their logo. I think the name's Mog Squad for the Milwaukee people. I might be getting that wrong. Sorry if I am. Their logo is literally a Mog fanatic riding a dreadnought with a cigar in his mouth. It's the coolest thing.
That's so
cool.
We can never actually beat that.
Noah and all those people in Milwaukee, they're all cool. We met some of them over Eternal Weekend as well, that we haven't met previously. All really sick people. Good Midwest people. Shout out to Mill City Old School, Aaron Dixon, them. Shout out to Order the Sacred Torch. They're like a crew. They never use their name. But I saw you guys using the name on LobsterCon registration. That's pretty cool. I guess Impulse Crew is all right.
Oh, I guess.
This is a slight deviation from the answer, but I'm going to say Deranged Hermits.
Oh, yeah.
They finally got a home base at Full Moon Gaming, and you should go to their events. And they have, like, an absolute fucking gem of a player and, like, community organizer and Mike Packer. So they have a home. I feel like this time next year we're going to be talking about them as, like, a real threat. Yeah. Threat. Jay.
Oh, yeah. So one group that I feel like hasn't been shouted out that needs to be shouted out is the Rochester Royals. They've been organizing the past two times at EW. They had a pretty sick hangout, get everybody there earlier in the weekend to jam and play some pre-modern at a nice brewery. And then other than that, you know what, listener, your crew. Because
that's the actual best answer.
Yeah.
Well, because that's the only like guaranteed right answer.
Yeah.
Because this time next year,
exactly.
It's going to be like someone from like Santa Fe or some shit.
Exactly. Like,
very diplomatic.
Honestly, wherever you are, fucking get some friends.
Yeah.
Start playing pre-modern. You're probably already playing pre-modern. And hopefully, but yeah, this time next year, we're going to know exactly who the fuck you are.
So, Billy's interjecting.
Yeah, sorry, I have to...
Sorry, Billy.
Yeah, right. Boise, come fucking get it.
So, all right. So, we're in crew shoutouts, and I have to give a shout-out for Southeast Pre-Modern. So, if you are in the mood to get your peaches clobbered...
Nice.
That fire is sick, though.
Yeah, it is. Go to the 2025 Peach Clobbering, where you can clobber all of the peaches.
All right, you're so a child.
Yeah.
So I was actually going to give them a shout out too.
No, okay. So, no shit. Southeast Pre-Modern is putting on an event January 18th, 2025 at noon. It's at Third Rail Distillery. It's in Lawrenceville, Georgia. $15 entry. Yeah. Hosted by Shared Discovery. And they're putting out some Mystery 2 booster boxes for prizes.
Oh, all right.
But
that's
yeah.
Those are great.
Yep.
Definitely listen to Shared Discovery.
Definite value in those booster boxes, too.
Shared Discovery is my most underrated podcast, I think, in the pre-modern scene.
Yeah, they're cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So anyways, go to their event in Lawrenceville, Georgia, January 18th.
When is the Rochester Royal?
Oh, we're going to get there. You guys are going too far.
Tired.
What the fuck question are we even on? most underrated pre-modern crew, my props is going to go to the Portland, Oregon crew. I I just know them as PM, 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 PM. And they put on, you know, monthlies every month. They have great turnouts. I think that they've gotten in the 30s for their turnouts at their monthlies. Heavy Play is one of the dudes in that area that's doing a ton of work on YouTube all the time, uploading so many matches.
I personally watch those all the time.
Hell yeah. Yeah. That whole scene is great and thriving and definitely on the up and up. And I know that some of the Howling Miners have moved on up to Portland, Oregon. So that's my shout out for them. My last one, you know, do you guys want to do two more or one more? One more slop, one more prop, or do you want to just do the final?
I'm here all night.
Keep it going, man.
All right. Slops. Slops to the card that you thought was amazing but turned out to be garbage. Ben.
Perfect. I'm happy to go first. River Boa didn't quite deliver for me. But I want to see somebody find a shell that it works in, because I will build that deck.
Slops to Call of the Claw.
Wow.
Surprising. Yeah.
Well, because you play in a Pyroclasm, you know what they do? They just have another Pyroclasm.
Yeah. The second Pyroclasm.
They always get you the second.
They never
one.
Have the second Wrath, but Pyroclasm. Yeah.
Wait, they just you.
There's usually another.
It happens in the same turn.
Yeah. Typically.
Destructive Flow. The mana sucks in this format, and it's not that the format is mature enough now that people are relatively disciplined with their mana bases.
Wait, didn't he say card that you thought was good?
Yeah.
You thought that card was good?
I thought that there was potential for it to be tier 2.
You thought there was potential for it to be tier 2.
Yes, I thought it could be about as good as The Rock. But the thing is that players are generally chaste and sober enough to stop playing things like The Solution. I think it could have a competitive showing if we didn't have fetch lands and have shock lands instead.
There we go.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah. We'll talk about this in 2025 when Destructive Flow is actually like the most degenerate card in the format.
Yep. Jay.
Card that I thought was good that actually sucks. I mean, I guess I could just go with Standstill. Because the card blows and is unplayable right now. But, yeah, I'm trying to think. Mox Diamond.
I'm going to put extra reverb on it.
Yeah. Just explosions behind it.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
I've noted the timestamp of this.
All right, perfect. No, I...
It's funnily enough, exactly 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, calling it amazing would have been an overstatement to begin with, but card that I thought was significantly more playable than it was, I'm giving my slops to Werebear.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Been hurt too many times,
yeah.
Too inconsistent, just doesn't do the thing when I need it to do the thing. I am on Call of the Herd for life at this point.
Yep.
Can we just add a bonus card in here?
Sure.
Nimble Mongoose.
Oh, come on.
I don't want to do it.
Too far. Can't do my mans like that.
All right. I'll just keep watching people try and make it work.
Last question of the evening. Props to what you're most stoked for in 2025, Jay.
Oh, I have a feeling that all our answers are going to be pretty similar, but unless anybody comes out with truly something out of left field. But continuing largely what we started this year, I'm super excited for our next regional. I'm super excited to host LobsterCon. I'm excited for the streams to get even bigger. And I have so many ideas for just production stuff that can blow everything that we've done already out of the water and hopefully make it look like child's play. I just think that everything that we started doing this year, we're going to continue to do into 2025, and we're going to do it bigger, we're going to do it better, and it's going to be fucking amazing.
Billy.
Winning LobsterCon.
I'm not going to win LobsterCon. I'm not even playing LobsterCon. All
right. Working LobsterCon.
I would say when I am most excited for When hitting not just like table capacity, but like when we're talking about like getting renting tables and bring them to like great stories, when it's like whatever's happening after that, like we're getting like expanded caps on our Great Stories event. We have a great relationship with them. They're like canceling their like One Piece and like Star Wars and Warhammer weekly so that we can have more table space. Eventually we're gonna max out.
Fuck those players.
Yeah, fuck those guys. like I don't care about Lorcana. Play pre-modern if you want to play that day. Whatever is, whether it's like grand pre-modern Worcester, whether it's like a duress crew invitational.
The first grand prix modern, yeah. Pre-modern, grand pre-modern.
Yeah. Grand pre-modern Worcester. Which doesn't exist. Really, this isn't
it fucking better be.
Unfortunately, Worcester. It's going to be 2026. Go on, Billy.
Yeah, but whatever's happening next. Yeah, I think there's, yeah.
You're excited for the unknown.
I'm excited for whatever duress crews, 9 rounds of Swiss and or 2-day event or whatever. Like whatever the next thing is, because I think we're going to learn a lot from LobsterCon, and I think that we are either going to take on a lot more or take on a lot less for LobsterCon 2026, and that mm-hmm. will empower us to have greater creative control. Because mm-hmm. it's not quite our baby, but we're learning a lot from it. So that's my answer. Whatever's the next tier up.
We're babysitting.
Yeah.
I'm excited for LobsterCon.
Is this your prop?
This is
this is a big answer, by the way.
Slops to working LobsterCon. Props to working LobsterCon. I'm excited for props to LobsterCon. Props to our next pig roast. And props to going to Gooskies next year for Eternal Weekend.
Oh, hell yeah.
Let's do a cow roast.
Fuck yeah.
What the fuck?
A cow roast.
Jesus.
Benjamin.
Camel. I don't know. I think it's I'm going to play unfair decks this year. Fuck you guys.
Hell yeah,
man.
Join us.
Steal some wins.
Props to
unfair decks.
I am just going to go ahead, because everybody pretty much already said it, as Jay said. I'm just going to give my props to the future of Hardcast.
Mm, there you go.
Wow. I'm excited to see, you know, all the conversations that come, all the people that we have on, disrupting the circle jerk and getting new voices out there. I'm all about it. I'm excited.
I like how you circled back to the circle jerk.
Yep.
Yeah. Full circle. You always get circled back.
We
to the
are in the center of the circle jerk.
We are the cookie.
Yeah, we're the gorilla biscuit.
and everything else to come. So that's it. Yeah. Gentlemen, before we depart and I give my shout outs that I have written down there here to tournament organizers and all that jazz, is there anything that anybody would like to get off their chest, or shall we close this baby out?
Oh, is this like confessional time?
I'm
sorry for tonight.
I think we covered it all, really. I think it was a good one.
Props to the listeners.
Oh, hell yeah.
Thank you all who listened to this.
Yeah, seriously. If you got through all this bullshit, thank you so much for being here.
You're getting to the end of what I imagine. Okay, fine. Spoiler. I've alluded to it. This is episode number 2. We split this
part two.
This into 2 episodes for sure. As I look to my left and look at like how much time has passed, is definitely 2 episodes.
Yeah.
And if you've listened to all of them, then yeah, you rule.
We should drop a 4-hour fucking episode.
No, fuck it. We really should. And then I sound like an idiot.
We're dropping Dune? No.
Yeah.
Dune didn't have the courage to be that long.
4-hour
fucking. Well, I'll give one shout out before I just give a shout out to these tournaments that are coming up and everything. But I do want to shout out David Firthbard, who is definitely not listening to this. And definitely will never listen
Jared
to this.
Might.
But Jared might. And
do we do a roundtable of just like community like essentials who we have not shouted out yet?
At some point, perhaps. But we gave a lot of shout outs, but I just gotta give a shout out. I gotta give a shout out to DFB, who is taking us under his wing, giving us tutelage, and we are learning. We're doing a lot of work, no doubt, but we are learning a lot from him. And the knowledge that he is imparting on us is going to allow us to progress our tournaments in the future substantially, I think. You know, I'm paying a lot of attention to what's been going on, especially when it comes to the email chains and all that type of stuff. And DFB has really laid the groundwork from which, you know, we're going to learn so much and we're going to progress further. So
Shout out to the TOs and content makers out there in the PMR community. We know personally it can be a sort of thankless job. You're spending a lot of your free time. That's very valuable.
And money.
And money. Sometimes literally losing money on things.
All we do is burn money in Duress
Crew. And then you just have people DMing you like silly things and feedback. And
deckless one?
Yeah, like deckless when, you know, Phil Nguyen has the decklist. He always has a decklist.
I don't know why they're DMing you.
Right, DM him. Don't DM me. And, you know, we see you, we appreciate you, and keep up the good work.
Hell yeah.
For sure.
Thankless job.
Everybody doing pre-money content.
All right. Yeah. I have a couple shout-outs just for tournaments coming up. David Vraska hit me up and asked me to shout-out the Rochester Royal Winter Ball 25. That's coming up January 25th in Fairpoint, New York. There is a pre-modern main event, OS and Legacy side event. All proceeds are going to charity. A barbecue lunch is included with your entry, which is pretty fantastic. And if you want more info on that, you can go to rockroyalsmtg.com. We already shout out the Peach Clobbering happening January 18th in Lawrenceville, Georgia. They always raise a bunch of money for charity. They have a nice little 30-person cap tournament going on. So be sure to hit up Gabe Menendez or anybody from Shared Discovery and obviously listen to Shared Discovery. A quick shout out to Lanny putting a bounty on Spicy Shit. Play your spicy decks, win some money, and become another hero of the format. And lastly, I want to give a shout out to the Duress Crew Winter Regional, which will be coming up March 1st at Great Stories in Wittensville, Massachusetts. As always, a reasonable $35 entry. We'll be having the charity raffle going. We'll be doing the stream. You get a big fat payout, a stamped card at the door. We'll be running the consolation bracket, and it's going to be a banger of a time. We have a cap this time of, I believe, 108 people.
Yeah, somewhere just north over 100, yeah.
Yep, and we're looking to sell that shit out. So come on through. Have a great time. Get on stream. Win some sick prizing.
Come hang out.
Yep. The prizing is going to be bigger than last time.
Play it's
going
to be sick. Secondary event.
Will it be? What are we giving out?
A
cradle.
Well, yeah. We're giving out a cradle for first. Mox Diamond for second.
Okay.
And then I'm looking for something like City of Traders 3 and 4 and like maybe Intuitions.
Yeah.
5 through 8.
And that is official, everybody.
That's official. I was trying to set you up, but that's the pricing. We're sticking to it. We had to decide at some point.
It's on the record.
Well, I already knew that was pretty much going down, but boom.
Cool.
Call it an ep.
We're giving out a cradle.
Let's go.
Thank you for listening. If you made it this far, Hardcast signing out.
Bye.
Later.
Bye. Bye.